All right, let's take our Bibles, please. Let me make sure I'm on. Yeah, I'm good. Let's turn back to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment, and then we're going to go to the Old Testament and look at a couple of other things before we finish up this evening. Now, we are talking about the glory cloud, the Shekinah, as it was called in the Old Testament by the rabbis, and they've simply referred to the glory of God, the Shekinah, and the first time we saw that was back with God being a having a sword that was a flaming sword that kept that kept the way to the tree of life, so that Adam and Eve would not go to the tree of life and eat of its fruit, and thus be in an eternal state of death. And so. So then we followed that, and we saw that it showed up while the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen, and it led them from Goshen down to the down to the shores of the Red Sea, and then it went across and paved the way. Moses stood there and held up his staff, and the waters parted, and the Shekinah went in front of them, and they went on across the Red Sea. It then followed them the entire time that they were in the wilderness, 40 years following them in the wilderness and leading them. And then when they came into the land of promise, then the Shekinah came with them. Of course, the Shekinah dwelt over Holy of Holies, over the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, and it stayed there until we saw when God left in the book of Ezekiel, right about the just after the Babylonians came and carried off all of the young people from Jerusalem and carried them back to Babylon, and shortly thereafter, about 6 months after that happened, Ezekiel was given a vision where he saw the Shekinah leave the Holy of Holies and rest just outside of the holy place, and then he saw it move to the door, and then he saw it after several hours go just outside the door, and then after several hours it went and stood over the Mount of Olives and just hung there between heaven and earth over the Mount of Olives. And we made the point that the Lord was the glory of the Lord for the first time in 1,000 years. The first time in 1,000 years, the glory of the Lord had left Israel, had left the tabernacle and the people that glory represented, and so. So it was gone, and of course there was great lament and great sorrow. All right, so the next time that glory shows up in our Bible is in the New Testament, and it shows up in the book of Luke, chapter 2, where we see the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory," there it is, all right, there's your Shekinah, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And remember, swaddling clothes are death clothes. That is, those are clothes that when everybody outgrew the clothes, or they got too thin, or they wore out, you did not throw them away. You stored them away. And then you used them as burial cloths for a loved one who would pass away. And so the angel said, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then in verse 13, we haven't got to this yet, but we will tonight. In verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All right, let's pray, and then we'll pick up where we left off last time. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. I pray that you will bless us as we open the word of God tonight, and I pray the Holy Spirit will instruct and teach our hearts, and Father, help us to glean things tonight that will help us to grow and to draw closer to you. We are just so thankful for all the references that are in this Bible to the glory, to the Shekinah. And we turn from Old Testament now to New Testament, and it's still here. And so thank you, Father, for all these verses and all the things that we're able to see. Help us to, as the psalmist David said, to be in awe of your word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. All right, we are looking at the angel of the Lord in verse 9. And I made the point last week that that you don't see the angels all that much in the Bible. Now, we know they're there. You do see them, especially this angel of the Lord. But we do know that the angels are mentioned in the Scripture. And we know from the book of Revelation that there is a number that is astronomical in size of angels. We also know that one third of heaven's angels fell with the devil when he sinned and rebelled against God. So there are multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes of angels. But what we see in the Scripture often is this word, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Now, I'm going to take you back in just a little bit, and I'm going to show you several times where this angel is mentioned in the Old Testament Scriptures. But I want us to realize that when the Savior was born, when our blessed Savior was born, that the angel of the Lord showed up to announce his birth. And what I showed you last week is the fact that this angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord. All right, this is God the Son. This is the one that the Bible refers to as Jehovah, the God of the covenant. and it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is called by the Jews, that is called the tetragrammaton. All right, tetragrammaton. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, I don't know. But no, I do know. Here's what it means. All right, I do know. I'm kidding you. Here's what it means. They felt the name was too holy, too sacred to pronounce. They would not pronounce it. And so they wouldn't even write it out. And so what they did is they took the four consonants that are in that name. All right? It's J-H-V-H. J-H-V-H. Okay? And that is what you would find in a Hebrew Bible. All right? You would not see the word Jehovah. It would not be spelled out. But it would simply say J-H-V-H. Now, as I've told you before, every thing about the Hebrew language is amazing. And one of the things is that every letter has a numerical value. All right. Another thing about that, about the alphabet, is the fact that that all of the letters are a pictogram. They present a picture. All right. So J, H, V, H. All right. So what do you have there? Well, the J, of course, Jehovah. All right, and who is Jehovah? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. The Bible does not call him Jesus in the Old Testament. The Bible does not call him Christ. It doesn't refer to him as Christ. It refers to him as Jehovah or the Son, S-O-N. All right, the Son. For example, there is a verse in Psalm 2 and verse 7 where the Bible tells us that, let's just turn there real quick, hold your place here, but go back to Psalm 2 and let me show you this verse. It's very key, very important. All right, Psalm 2 and verse 7. And verse 7 says, I will declare a decree. All right, I'll wait on you. You got it? All right, look at it. I will declare the decree. All right, so this is it. This is the decree. This is not just any old decree. This is the decree. It cannot be debated. It cannot be disputed. This is the decree. This is how it is. This is what it is. This is where it is. This is why it is. This is the decree. All right? So what is the decree? Well, here it is. The who? Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that is J-V-H-V. Jehovah. All right? We pronounce it Jehovah. We put the vowels in it and pronounce it Jehovah. We don't know if it was Jehovah with an E and an A and an O. We don't know. All right? It could have been Jehovah. We don't know where it was. It was never pronounced. All right? The rabbis would never pronounce it. Nobody would pronounce it. Even over there today, it's really funny. I'll get a text message from somebody over there one of the guides that we use or one of the vendors wanting to know when I'm bringing my group back and that kind of thing. And they'll say, by God's grace. And they'll have a G, and then they'll have a blank space underneath, just a bar underneath, and then a D. They will not spell out God. They just don't do it. And they don't spell out Jehovah. They never spell out Jehovah. They don't even use the name. They call J-H-V-H, they call that Shem. Shem. And this is what a Shem looks like in Hebrew. All right? It's got three doolallies on it here. All right? Why three? Father, Son, Spirit. That's why. And it's a pictogram. It's a pictogram of the Godhead. And so they will say Shem. They will not say Jehovah. They won't do it. And they call him Shem, which means the name. The name. Okay? Everybody got that? That shows you just how sacred all this is. And so look at the verse 2:7. He said, this is the decree. Jehovah hath said, the Lord, and that's Jesus, hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So the Lord is saying he's the son of God. He is the son of God. Amen. Jehovah. Let's take it a step further. He is the son of God, Messiah. He is the son of God. You get to the New Testament, Jesus. He is the son of God, the Christ, the anointed one. Oh my, it just unfolds as you go through the scriptures. And so what we have here in Luke 2 is the angel of the Lord appearing to the shepherds, and he is announcing his own birth. Amazing. But it had to be known. Folks, listen. Help me with this, okay? No man hath seen God at any time and lived. You know who said that? You know who said that? The Lord said that. All right? Well, Pastor, when Moses said, Lord, let me see you, and God took Moses and put him in the cleft of a rock, and then passed by, and he said, now, Moses, put your hands over your eyes. Don't look. And when I get past you, then I'll let you look. And when he got past, he let him look. And what did he see? He saw his hinder parts. What does that mean? Saw his back? No. Folks, God is spirit. Amen. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. He did not see a physical body. What he saw, do you remember Isaiah in the temple? And the Bible says that he was in the temple and he saw the Lord, and his glory, his Shekinah, filled the temple. He saw the glory of God. He saw the Shekinah. Isn't that amazing? But no man has seen God and lived to tell about it. Okay? And even seeing the essence, even seeing the glory, when Moses came down off the hill after being up on the mountain of Sinai for 40 days with God, the people all said, Moses, cover your face. Why? Well, he had been in the glory cloud. And his face did shine, the Bible says. Amen. Isn't that amazing? His face did shine. So much so that the people said, Moses, cover your face. You're scaring us. They knew Moses had a temper. All right? They knew Moses had a temper. And now he comes off the mountain and he's radiating the glory of God in his own face. And wouldn't it be good if we could spend so much time with God that we start to radiate his glory?
Amen.
Amen. There's a sermon in there somewhere. All right, you see the point, folks? So here is the angel of the Lord. And this is the Lord Jesus announcing his own birth. All right, let's see, where do I even go from here? Let me see. Hold on a second. All right, are you still in Psalm 2? All right. Do what? What'd you say? All right, you can go back. Okay, I'll wait on you. All right, go to Psalm 45, though. Let's just keep coming forward, all right? I'll wait on you. I can be patient. All right, patience is up. All right, Psalm 45, okay? Look, please, if you will, at verse 6. Watch this. Thy throne, O God. Now, folks, no man has seen God and lived. So all of these angel of the Lords that appeared to people. Remember, he appeared to Abraham and Sarah. He appeared to Hagar, you remember. He appeared to Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Led Lot and his family out of the city before he destroyed it. Now, the angel of the Lord did all that. Now, folks, that angel of the Lord is not God the Father. God the Father is a spirit. You do not see a spirit. But yet they saw the angel of the Lord. When we get to heaven, I've told you this before, and it blows minds every time I say this. I mean, people are waiting on me after the service, trying to process what I have said to them in the service. But here it is. When you get to heaven, you are not going to see three gods. You're just not. You say, well, doesn't the Bible present God as three yet one? Yes, it does. But you're not going to see three. All right? The three are
one.
And the only one that has a body is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nod your heads. Do you see that? All right. Now shake your head like this so that it bounces around real good and gets in there, okay? Get it in there deep. Get it in there deep. You say, well, how's God fit into all this? We're talking about God.
Yes.
You say, well, how's the Holy Spirit fit in? Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, these three are one. Oh, it's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? You know, if it's been raining the last couple of days. Praise the Lord for that. Now I got a mow my grass. All right, my grass turned green overnight. Connie Box problem? You did this, Connie? You've been praying for rain? Yeah, you're the culprit? Okay. So, no, I have no problem with that. We needed the rain. The farmer sure needed the rain. All right? We had the rain last couple of days. All right? Now, in a couple of months, boo, boo, hiss, hiss, we're probably going to have that rain turn into snow. Yeah, climate change, yeah. And then it's going to get cold, and what melts is going to turn into ice. And sure enough, somebody's going to hit that ice. Their feet's going to go out from under them, down they go. Now look here, you got three things that are all the same thing. You've got rain, you've got snow, and you've got ice. And all three are water. Now, we went outside this afternoon. We sat on the porch and talked and looked around, and man, it was beautiful. The sun was shining. And I stepped out and on the sidewalk and got in the sun, just held my arms out and enjoyed that sun. I mean, just enjoyed it. All right. So you've got the sun shining. It was bright, light. All right. Then when I held my arms out, I felt heat. I felt heat. Where'd that come from? That big yellow ball up there. All right? So I had light, and I had heat. What else did I have? Huh? No, there's something else I had. What else did I have? Huh? Warmth. That came from the heat. All right? What else do you get? You get light, you get heat, and then you get the radiance that comes from it, and you enjoy all of that. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Folks, it's exactly the way it is with God. When you see God, you're going to say, there's Jesus. Amen. Who's sitting on the throne? You say, well, he's at the right hand of God the Father. Yeah. Yeah. The right hand is the hand of authority. It's the hand of power. Amen. But you're not going to see God sitting there beside of him. He is given that throne. By whom? By his Father. You say, well, I just don't understand all this. The just shall live by faith. I can't tell you I understand it all either, but I sure accept it because that's what my Bible teaches me. All right, now look at Psalm 45 and verse 6. Watch. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right sepulcher. Now, in this verse, the Holy Spirit of God, who is the author of this book? Don't forget that. The Holy Spirit calls the second person of the Godhead, Christ, calls him God. In this verse, thy throne, O God, who is going to sit upon the throne of David? Jesus. Jesus. So the Holy Spirit here is calling Jesus God. Do you see that? Now, folks, don't look at me sideways. I didn't write this. All right? I can read it and I can tell you what it says. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying. Thy throne, which part of the Godhead is going to sit upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years during the millennium? Jesus. Jesus. But now, understand this. The most often way or name that is given to the Lord, to Christ, in the Old Testament is this phrase that we have in Luke, where he is called the angel of the Lord. All right, we already looked at a couple of verses last week. Let me have you go back to Genesis 22 for just a moment. Genesis 22. All right, familiar verses to you, I'm sure. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, and the, what? Angel of the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus. And the angel of the Lord called unto him, to Abraham, out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, the angel of the Lord said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, and seeing that that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went back and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. All right. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Now, you know what that means? The Lord will provide. All right, and that's exactly what the Lord did. He provided. Now, you got to remember that Isaac said, Lord, we have daddy, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where's the lamb? All right, he knew you had to have a lamb for a sacrifice. And what did Abraham say to his son? The Lord himself will provide, or the Lord will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice.
Amen.
And so here the Lord did it. A picture of what God did when John 3:16, he gave his only begotten son. All right. So who was that son? Jesus. We know that. So who is being referred to here? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Jesus, he will provide.
Amen.
Okay, read on. Verse 15, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, folks, the angel of Jehovah appeared to Abraham and kept him from slaying his son Isaac. And then the angel of the Lord provided a ram for the to be a substitute for his own son. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He provided himself a sacrifice. Let me say it this way. He provided himself a sacrifice. Let me say it this way. He provided himself as a sacrifice. But he provided himself. No man takes my life, he said. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'll take it up again. And that's exactly what he did. All right? So, the angel of the Lord. All right? Go over to Exodus real quick. Exodus chapter 14. Let me show you this one. Oh, I like this one. This one's good. Look at Exodus 14. All right, look at verse 15, please. It says, and the Lord, Jehovah, J-H-V-H, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, and lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Jehovah. I am the angel of the Lord. I am Jesus. I am the one who will sit on the throne. I am the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do I need to go on? I mean, that's what it is implying here. They shall know that I am the God of the covenant, Jehovah Jesus. All right? When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Verse 19, now watch. And the, who? The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness unto them, but it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Wow. Who did that? Jesus did that. The angel of God in this case. You see how it's all interchanged. Why? It's the same person. It's the same person. And you and I are supposed to read the scripture here and realize this is the same one. Just keep remembering, God is spirit. You cannot see a spirit. God is Holy Spirit. You cannot see the Holy Spirit. You can't see him. You can feel him. All right? You know he's there. But you can't see him. So I've seen. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Quit lying. You have not seen him. You say, oh, yes, I have. You need to check on who you saw. Yeah. That's right. All right. You look over, please, to chapter 23. Exodus 23. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Huh. What do you know about that? Behold, I send an what? Capital A, angel. I mean, the King James translators knew that this should be capitalized because of who it is. Who is it? It's Jesus. It's Jehovah, the God of the covenant, the one that made the covenant. Look at 32, chapter 32 of Exodus. And verse 34. Chapter 32 and verse 34. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Watch now. Behold, mine angel, capital A, shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord, that's Jehovah, that's J-H-V-H, and Jehovah plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. So that was the golden calf experience. And who was it that said he would go with him? The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. So folks, the angel of the Lord is Christ. That's Jesus. It's the God. Whenever you see the word Lord, all capital letters, that is, you know automatically that that is the God of the covenant. The God of redemption. And who provided our redemption? Jesus. All right? So that's our Savior. All right, let me blow you really away here. Hurry up. Go over, please, to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll quit. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. All right, look, please, at 1 Corinthians 10. And Paul is uncovering the picture here for us. All right, look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. I like that. God never endorses ignorance. We ought to know something. All right? And if you got a Bible and you read it, you will know something. David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers because I love thy law. All right, there's another sermon, but look at the rest of verse 1. How that our fathers were under the Shekinah and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual, capital R, rock that followed them. And that rock was who? I rest my case. I rest my case. Do you see it? The angel of the Lord is Jesus. All right, well, it's time to close for the night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Bless it to our hearts. And Father, I know that all of this is heavy stuff. I realize that, but it's in the Bible, and we need to consider it. We need to think about it. And Father, we are thankful that we have a Bible that presents these truths about our wonderful Savior. And so, Father, help us to read them, to understand them, and to just have faith in what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we are so thankful for our wonderful Savior. We're thankful that the Savior came, that he came and gave himself that we might be saved. And so, Father, bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.